Today, I want to share with you from Genesis chapter 18. I was talking to Dean a while back about the second part of Genesis 18. He says, just share with, teach this to the church. And I said, well, it's really, it's a two or three message chapter. So today we're going to look at the first part of Genesis 18, and it has to do with Sarah. It's a conversation that God has with Abraham, but it has to do with Sarah. And then next week, it's a conversation that Abraham has with God that has to do with Abraham, okay? So this week, the first part, next week, the second part. Genesis is like a drama, right? A long multi-act play. And what in between, we get to see scenes, right? It's kind of like occasionally I go with my daughter to the ballet. I'm not an artsy person, right? But the curtains open and it's a scene. And then a few things develop around the scene. And typically they just take some parts of a bigger drama and they present them to us. And that's kind of what's happening with us today. Genesis 18, there's basically two scenes, okay? It's one setting, but there's two scenes. We'll look at the first today and the next next week. But I have a question before we start. Will God let God use us to accomplish His purposes according to His ways? God is very, very purposeful. And I am 100% convinced that Creekside Bible Church is here for a purpose, right? And so will we let God use us to accomplish His purposes? Now, we may have an idea. We may, the problem is sometimes they become our purposes, right? But I'm convinced that God has a purpose for Creekside Bible Church. And will we allow Him to use us according to His ways? Because, God never accomplishes His purposes outside of His ways. There is no the ends justify the means with God, right? Everything He does is in accordance with His ways. And His ways are righteous. They're right, okay? It's a love your neighbor type ethic with God, all right? And He never violates that to accomplish His purposes. And so for me, in my family, in my life, Alan, are you trying to achieve God's purposes in a way that's not truly righteous? Okay? And I think it's a good question for us as a family here. As we work here on this side of I-45 in Montgomery County, are we working, letting God use us in accordance with His ways? And I think what in Genesis 18, to me, it's one of the most significant chapters in the Bible, honestly, okay? I think you find in it, and we'll see next week, the Great Commission, the Old Testament version of the Great Commission. We'll see that next week, I think. It's significant. And God is teaching Abraham something about His ways, okay? So that's what we want to see, and I'll do my best to get through this. Three things. What can we learn about God's purposes, all right? And what can we learn about God's ways? And then how can we find motivation or energy or the power to walk in God's ways as we let Him use us for His purposes? Make sense? Okay. Or another way, there's a plan, there's a problem, there's a solution. All right, 3 points. All right. So first, it's a drama. We're sitting. We're back here looking at the stage. The curtain opens. All right. So the setting, Genesis 18:1. I guess I better turn my Bible to Genesis 18. It says, God visited or appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So it opens up, we've got some trees, okay? We've got a tent, we've got Abraham, it's hot, okay? It's in the summer sometime. And over here, kind of off stage, we see it. Abraham doesn't. Here's God, a couple of angels along with God. Back far in the distance is Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? That's the way we see this. Now, a lot of times in a play, a scene, or an act, there's some backstory. There's some pre-story that's going on. And you really can't understand the scene in front of you without knowing, having some history, right? It always messes me up when I go to the ballet with my daughter because I don't know the first part of the story, okay? So I'm kind of lost trying to figure out what's happening. So we need to take a few minutes and figure out what's happened. We're going to have a flashback, okay? So this story starts in Genesis chapter 11. And it says, Abraham took Sarah his wife, and she was barren. She had no child. Now, this story, this drama has, I see this different now that I lived in Albania for a while in a honor shame culture, okay, than I did when I lived here. And I don't know about Molly if it was honor shame or not. This is no small thing. This is no small thing. All right. Number one, women are not at the same level as men. And then if you're a woman that can't have a child, you're even down here. And I guarantee you her mother, her aunt, her cousins, everybody like, Sarah, what's wrong with you? You can't have a child. And a lot of times, you know, that wife gets divorced so we can marry another wife and have a child. It's a shame to have to adopt a child. This is no small thing, okay? It's interesting to me, almost every time Sarah's mentioned, when they talk about it, they say, Sarah, Abraham's wife. Sarah, his wife. His wife. Sarah, his wife. There's this identification that Sarah is Abraham's wife. Now, Sarah, a wife is not a small thing either. God, with Adam and Eve, you leave your father and mother and you are joined to your wife, okay? You two will become one flesh. There is a covenant between a husband and a wife, right? This is significant. This is no small thing in biblical terms, all right? These two people have a covenantal relationship with each other. Abraham has a covenant relationship with Sarah, his wife. So a little bit later, they go, God appears to Abraham, okay? And God makes a covenant with, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And he says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is a big deal, right? This is no small thing either. This is a big ask. In you, Abraham, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. All right? And maybe next time we'll talk about blessing a little bit. But blessing, this is not just in the future. You know, Jesus is going to come from your seed, and through Jesus, all the people of the world will be blessed. That is true. But blessing also has an immediate aspect to it also, right? When we walk in the ways of the Lord, there is blessing. Blessing is found in walking in the ways of the Lord. And Abraham, you need to learn my ways because I've got a plan for you that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. We're going to see next week he's supposed to teach people this, okay? So then, and this chapter makes me very sad. In fact, I'm sadder today than I was yesterday because I reread it. But while I was sitting back there, we can look at the next one. A bit later in chapter 12, Abraham gives Sarah to Pharaoh as a concubine for her good. That is a mistake. I should have changed that. It's for his good and for his own protection. I didn't quite see it right before I wrote the slide. He gives Sarah, his wife, to Pharaoh for his good and his protection. Now, God may make me mute, all right? But in the 21st century, we call this trafficking. Okay? He trafficked Sarah. She was in a different land. He brought her here. Okay? And then he says, you know what? We're kind of in some trouble. We need some money. And so that things will go well with me and they won't kill me, I need you to go live in this man's house. All right? So this woman who can't have a child, who's barren, whose God came and said, hey, dude, I'm going to make you great. I've got a purpose for you. Right? And she's watching this. She gets trafficked. That may be a strong word. I'm sorry. All right. Then a little bit later, what happens next? God has a conversation with Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make your descendants like innumerable. Not only in you are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed, you're going to have a number of descendants, right? You're going to have children, all right? So then this is like 20 years before. And then a little bit later, now imagine they probably have been talking to each other, Sarah and Abraham, right? I can envision, I'm wasting away too much time, I'm sorry. I can envision this in my house, all right? Oh, Ann, you know, God came to me and he gave me a mission. He gave me a purpose, right? And it has to do with descendants. I don't know what we're going to do about this. I just really, you know, come on, Ann. You know, this is God's been talking to me and we need to obey God. And finally she says, fine, just go sleep with my handmaid. Now that's not the way the Bible presents it, but I can imagine. All right, so the next one, he also says, I'm your shield and your great reward. What did he do? He was concerned about, why did he traffic Sarah? Because he was afraid. All right, he said, they're going to kill me down here in Egypt. And so he traffics his wife. And God says, I'm your shield and your great reward. I messed up the sequence, okay? He says, look, you're going to have somebody born in your house. And I'm sorry. Abraham says, okay, Lord, we got a problem. All right? I don't have a descendant. How's this going to work? All right? He says, my descendant's going to be like, I have this person, a servant in my house that has a child. Maybe I have to give all my money and my cows and everything to him. And God says, no, you're going to have a child. Then he goes to Sarah. Then let's circle it. Okay. And then they have this conversation. He goes into Hagar. Hagar has a son, Ishmael. All right. So then in chapter 17, one more slide, 3 months prior to chapter 18, to our story, okay? We're having this flashback, okay? 3 months prior, Abraham, he's 99 years old. The Lord appears to him. He says, I'm going to make you very fruitful. I'm going to make nations come from you, kings come from you. Now, as for Sarah, your wife, Sarah, this person that you have a covenantal relationship with, okay? I'm going to bless her. Okay, bro, this isn't just about you. I'm going to bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations and kings of people shall come from her. Now, this is not, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Okay, it's interpreted different in our society. He bowed down, but he laughed. He said, how's this going to happen? Right? How can a child be born to a man who's 100 years old and Sarah's 90 years old bear a child? And he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, may the son of Hagar live before you. Okay, forget Sarah. We need this solution, Lord. And then what does God say? He says, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I'll establish my covenant with him who Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Okay? So this is sometime in the spring, probably, Okay. And then he finished talking with him and went away. This is the backstory. Now we come to 18. All right. So 3 months later, the Lord appears to Abraham by the terebinth trees as he's sitting in the heat of the day. So he looks up his eyes. Now we get some action, right? And all of a sudden, there's three men standing. And when he saw them, he ran from the door to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Now these three men, I think Abraham probably knows that one of them is Yahweh, okay? This is a pre-incarnate Christ is who it is. He sees Jesus, all right, pre-incarnate with the angels because they have this conversation. And he says, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest under a tree, and I'll bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts, and that as you pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, okay, do as I said. So Abraham hurries into the tent to Sarah and says, quickly make 3 measures of fine wheat, knead it, make some cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender good calf and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by under the tree as they ate. I'm sorry, that was fast, but this is all happening in this scene. People are dancing, going to cows, you know, and preparing this stuff and music, and everybody's having a good time, right? And they get it served, and the Lord and the two angels are sitting beside the tree eating. This is very, very Eastern, or Near Eastern, okay? I don't know about Mali again in Albania. This, to me, I think this is a setting straight from Albania, okay? You get somebody, a traveler, come by, you stop and you host them because we are a shame honor culture, right? And it is a dishonor not to show hospitality to a traveler. Somebody come into your place, you need to show honor. And actually, I am honored because I have a cow, I have butter, I have milk. Look what a cool guy I am. I can do all this for this person. Perhaps he'll go on and he'll tell the people down the road what a nice guy Abraham is. It's honorable. He is showing honor to these travelers. Okay. So then, the Lord says to Abraham, where is your wife? And Abraham said, here in the tent. And look down at the bottom, and Sarah was listening in the tent door, which is behind him. Now think about this for a minute. Here's the tent. Here's Abraham. There's the tent. And here's the Lord, right? And Sarah's in the tent door. And God says, where's Sarah? All right, God knew exactly where she was. I would have known where she was. You don't have to be God to know she's standing right behind Abraham in the tent door. Now, 3 months before, God said, Abraham, I'm going to make Sarah the mother of nations. Princes and kings will come from her. I'm going to bestow honor on to Sarah. This isn't just about you. This is just about Sarah. I mean, it includes not just about Sarah. It includes Sarah also. I need to back up. This flashback could have been... It could have been the story of Ann and I on our way to Albania. Our pre-Albania couple of years was the hardest years of our marriage. Because I felt the call to Albania a lot more serious than Ann did. Okay? But God, like Alan, you got a wife, right? And you're both going to Albania, but you've got a wife, all right? And this call includes you both, and you cannot just neglect the fact that Anne's part of your call. And we struggled a lot because Anne had a good life here. She was in ministry here teaching kids, right? I was a little this isn't what the purpose that God has for me, and so we need to do something else. And we struggled. And I had a meeting like Abraham had with God in Dave Anderson's office, and I remember it. I remember where I was sitting, where he was sitting. I remember it, okay? He said, Alan, a wise man listens to his wife because God's given women a way to see the world that he's not given you. And if you're a wise person, you will listen to her because she sees things that you don't see, okay? And when that happened, it changed for us, for Ann and I. So I think what's happened here is that, you know, this is Alan and this is Dave Anderson and there's Ann in the background. And he's saying, where's Ann in all this? Like, what difference does that make, Lord? Oh, it makes a ton of difference. It makes a ton of difference because, you know, she's part of this call too. And I don't accomplish my goals outside of my ways. And the way you're treating Anne, the way you're bringing her into this is not in accordance with my ways. Right? And I think this is what God is telling Abraham here. All right? So where is Sarah? And he says, you know, I'm going to return to you according to, he's talking to Abraham now. Sarah's listening. All right. I'm going to return to you according to the time of life, which is in the springtime. It's in the summer. So next spring, okay, 9 months later, your wife shall have a son. And then let's look at the next thing. There's another question. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within her heart, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? It's a cynical laugh. You know, and we do it all the time. You know, and we might have heard it before Creekside was planted. All right, you guys are going to plant a church? Give me a break. All right, you want me to go to missionary? You know, it'll be a cold day in Hades before I go to the field, right? Or, yeah, you know, that's not me. I'm not doing that, right? But we typically like, oh, yeah. All right, we'll see. All right, it's a cynical laugh, I think. And Sarah's like, this is crazy. You know, I'm old, and, you know, am I going to have the joy of being pregnant? All right. I think women are the prettiest when they're pregnant. Anne just glowed when she was pregnant. You know, and towards the end, it got kind of hot and hard for her, but she loved being pregnant. Right? It was a pleasure for her. And I'm sure you gals, something we guys can't ever experience. You know, the joy of there's a life growing in me, right? And Sarah, she's been barren for a long time, have the pleasure of having a child. So I'm old and Sarah's old. So why did this laugh? You know, there's an interesting thing going on here. See the word old, I have grown old, and shall I have pleasure, my Lord be an old also. Those are two different words. And the first old, why have I grown old, is a word that means moth-eaten, wasted away, rotten. The second word for old is just old. It's aged. Job uses this word, the first word for old. He says that, I didn't write it down. He says in Job 26, I think, he says, you know, I have wasted away like a moth-eaten garment. And that's what Sarah said. After I have become useless, after I have wasted away, after I have become like a moth-eaten garment, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being aged also? So think about her identity now, her self-esteem, how she feels. I was talking to my daughter about this yesterday, and she says, you know, in these cultures, women are property. It's all they are. And so this is, Sarah's my property, I give her to Pharaoh, right? And Sarah's just, I'm worn out. I'm used up. I'm like a moth-eaten garment. I have no value. And then she says, but my Lord, being old, being an older guy, aged also. Now, question for Diane Susting. Where is this second part of that verse referenced in the New Testament?
Hebrews 11, maybe?
No.
No.
No. It's referenced. It's not quoted. It's referenced. 1 Peter 3, 6 and 7. And it says that wives, it's Peter's take on submission, all right? And he tells wives to follow Sarah's example, who called her husband Lord. Now, Sarah, after all of this, she still calls him Lord. And she respects her husband as he's who he is. And then the next verse, read us the next verse, Diane, 7.
Husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife.
Wait, doing what?
Giving honor to the wife.
Giving honor to the wife. Now, when God came in with his angels, that meal was honor. All right? Sarah stays in the tent. Now, a lot of Eastern cultures, being in the tent and letting the men eat out is not a big deal for the women. It's just something they do, right? But typically, if it's just you and your husband and three guys, once they start eating, you'll come out there and be with them. You may not eat, but you'll come out there and be with them, all right? If it's a lot of people, maybe the wives and the girls will stay here while the men eat, and then after it's over, they'll eat. But husbands, you know, live with your wives in an understanding manner, giving honor to them. Honor your wife so that your prayers may not be hindered. So then, I'm a little bit lost, but then what happens? This is so cool. I think it's so cool. And God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she laugh? It's like, bro, you know what's going on here. Why is she cynically laughing? Does she have a esteem problem? You know, is there a reason that she's like, you know, got a bad attitude? Do you have anything to do with her bad attitude? And for me, with Anne, I'd probably have to say, yeah, I probably have a lot to do with her bad attitude as far as us going to Albania. All right? And then, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I shall bear a child since I am old? And this is the word for just old. So God doesn't call her an old, worn out piece of useless stuff. He just says she's old. So he shows grace to her as he talks to her in his language. Then he says, is there anything marvelous for the Lord? I changed this because the word is marvelous. It's not too hard. It's marvelous. Is there anything extraordinary to God? Is there? Is there anything marvelous to God? Does he stand in awe of anything? Answer is no. There's nothing extraordinary to God. There's nothing marvelous to God. He is marvelous. He is a marvelous worker. He works marvelousness. Right? And it's just stuff. You know, you get a carpenter, he builds this beautiful piece of furniture, right? And you say, that's cool. He says, it's just some wood that I made into a deal, right? You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing marvelous to God. if I want to plant, have an old man and an old woman have a child, that's no big deal. It's not like it's too hard. It's like, oh no, it's anything too hard for God. That's a marvelous thing, but nothing's marvelous to God about it. So how do we, when we are somehow walking away from God's ways in accomplishing our goals, our purpose, how do we find the power to stay on track? What is our motivation to stay on track? Does that make sense? Creekside, you guys got a big task here. This is not an easy thing. It is not. Church planting is hard, okay? And you want to make sure you're doing it in accordance with God's ways. So how do you make sure that you don't get derailed to begin to do things in ways that are not in accordance with God's ways? And the first one is to look to God. Is there anything marvelous to God? You may think this is hard. This is not hard for God. And we don't really know fully what God's got in store. I mean, Abraham, 25 years, and they're still wanting a son. Right? Time, we have a different view of time than God does. And we need to make sure that we continue. We don't look for cultural solutions or our own solutions to the problems, quote unquote problems that we have, right? Problems that we think. They thought they had a problem, didn't they? Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's barren. Abraham's old, all right? So we need to look to God. And then I think we need to look inside of ourselves. And he tells Sarah, this seems harsh, but I don't think it is. And now Sarah pipes up, says, I didn't laugh. And God says, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. You need to be honest with your heart, Sarah. You're discouraged. You've maybe got a little lack of faith, or you're doubting love, all right? Be honest, because I'm going to do something amazing through you, but I need you to believe. So check your heart out. And I think for us, we look to God and we check our heart, right? We need to be honest. Do we have doubts? Are we afraid? Are we tired? Are we discouraged? We need to admit it, right? I'm discouraged, Lord. Okay, he understands that, right? But he wants us to know, hey, there's nothing marvelous. You know what he said? Sarah made the Hall of Fame of Faith, Hebrews 11, right? No, you did laugh. That's not what this is about. No, you did laugh. You should not have laughed. Right? You didn't trust me. I just think he's saying check your heart. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. This woman judged God faithful who had promised. Right? She probably took her eyes off her husband. And God may say, Alan, you preached a sermon busting on Abraham. All right? But she counted God faithful. Therefore, from one man, and as him as good as dead, and born as many, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Because of her faith, God was able to fulfill his promises to Abraham. Okay? If Sarah hadn't had faith, I don't know what God would have done. Where is this? This is another question. Is there anything too marvelous for the Lord? Where do we hear that before? You know? We're way out of time, but there's another story in the Bible. An angel comes to a young woman and says, you're going to have a son. And her problem is she doesn't have an old man. She's got no man. And she says, but it's like Sarah, a man as good as dead, right? And she says, how can this be since I've not known a man? And God says, is there anything marvelous? Or the angel says, is there anything marvelous for God? It is almost the identical phrase. One's in Greek and one's in Hebrew. If you take the Greek phrase and put it back in the Septuagint, it's the same words, with the exception of one adjective or one adverb or whatever, preposition, okay? Is there anything marvelous for the Lord? And what does Mary say? Does she laugh? No. She says, be it done unto me, the maidservant of the Lord. She had her eyes on God. She understood this. And when God came and made a big ask, she said, okay, it's not, I understand the fact that there's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing too hard with God. You know, two chapters later, why don't we go to it? Go down to Colleen. One more. And the Lord showed grace to Sarah. It says the Lord visited Sarah. It's a different word. It's took notice of. He showed favor to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time of which God had spoken to him, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who will hear will laugh with me. And this isn't cynical, this is joy. God is a God of grace. God is a God that cares for us. God is a God that wants to show us favor so that we experience joy. And that's who he is. And he's also this God that can do anything because there is nothing extraordinary for God. And that's the God that we serve. And I think God wanted Abraham to learn that. He needed to learn that hey, you've got a wife. You're in a covenant relationship with her. She's part of the call. You need to honor her so your prayers will not be hindered. Okay, Abraham's fixing to pray later on. Your prayers will not be hindered. All right. And we need to learn to look to God and to show favor. And I am long, but I'm so glad you guys invited me here. Next week, scene two. All right, I love scene two. All right, I'm a little more passionate about scene two than I am scene one, but it's been a good week for me to study this. It's been a challenge for me, honestly, the way I treat Ann, the way that I bring her into what we're doing, that I learn to honor her and to treat her as a co-heir of the kingdom, because Sarah was, and that Abraham needed to learn that, so. Let me pray for us, okay? Lord God, thanks for your word that teaches us. Thanks for Abraham. Thanks that he was faithful. And Lord, I may have busted on him if he's there with you. Ask forgiveness, but thanks for teaching us. Help us to honor each other, to even those that are seem like they don't have much honor in our family here, Father, but that they are important to you. We know that you're using all of us to accomplish your purposes, and help us to see your ways and to work in accordance with your ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.